Welcome back to the eighth episode of Babes, Babes. We are Yogi Berra episodes in, and that feels like a pretty big one. I'd like to welcome our special guest, author, and fellow Yankees fan, Jason Klein, as well as my co-host, Kelsey Bird. Unfortunately, our sidekick, Mads, couldn't be here with us tonight. She's holding the fort down at Yankee Stadium.
She's excused for that reason alone.
She is excused. We need her to bring a little luck to the series tonight. With that, I'm going to toss it over to Kelsey to ask us the around the horn question.
All right. We're firing it up with our around the horn question, which is going to kind of set the tone for our conversation today, I hope. We are all very inspired individuals, and a big theme of the book that we're going to discuss today is about empowering others and to pursue whatever it is that you're passionate about. I know that I am someone who dreams big and I stay inspired due to many sources of inspiration in my life, but none less than the people who have empowered me and encouraged me to always keep dreaming and trying and reaching and doing. Jason, you obviously wrote this amazing book that we're here to learn more about, but you also worked for Steiner Sports for 10 years and had a very established career that you took a huge leap from and quit to pursue writing. So my question for y'all today is, who is a person or maybe people that stick out in your mind in your life that have inspired you and have set an example for you that you can and you should pursue whatever it is that you really want to go after? It can be someone that you know personally or a public figure, whatever you'd like to share. Jonna, you want to go for it?
Can I think about it? Can you pick us off? No.
Does someone come to mind for you right off the bat, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, a few people, actually. I mean, the obvious answer for me, given the book that I wrote and we're going to discuss, would be my two daughters, who inspired me to write this book, you know, not only for them, but also for, you know, young girls out there everywhere who might lack the confidence or the, you know, the ability to go out and do something that they want to do. So naturally, they inspired me to write this book. Also, my wife, Alyssa, has always inspired me. She, you know, she has allowed me to pursue this dream of mine to write a book and this career path. And, you know, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for her support always. And, you know, I guess you can't go wrong shouting at your wife and your two daughters to start it off, right?
Absolutely.
Excellent,
good call. Okay. Does anyone come to mind for you?
Yeah. So I would say all women in sports, as that's become just a lot more prevalent in the last few years. When the MLB did their first women-only broadcast last summer, that was such an inspiration to me. And so shout out to those girls. That was so cool. It was just a really cool moment in history. And it was, you know, part of it was like, how did it take this long? But it was really cool to be a witness to that. And yeah, my family, I want to throw them in there too. My husband is so supportive of me. He actually wanted to go to the Big Ten baseball tournament this week. It's going on here in Omaha. And he told me this morning that he wasn't going to go because he was going to stay here and make sure that my dogs remain quiet during this recording. He said that was the most important thing to him, that I was able to do that in peace. And so that, yeah, my husband for sure.
That's so awesome. Yeah, I was thinking about like women in sports. Someone who specifically comes to mind who's probably watching your Yankees right now as well is Melanie Newman, who works for the Baltimore Orioles. And she was part of that all-female broadcast team. She posted something on Twitter last night that maybe you've seen. It's just a picture and it says, "She's so lucky." And the "she's so lucky" is crossed out and it says, "Damn, she worked hard."
Aww.
And I think that's like such a good call out because it's easy for us to see them where they're at now with such the natural ability and talent that they have. Like clearly they were meant to do this, but all of the sacrifices and just even being able to believe in what they didn't see. is really cool and really special, because I know that's something that I've just really started to realize as I've gotten older, like how powerful it is to see women in sports now, like I never did growing up. And, you know, you don't really think about it sometimes until you see it. So
yeah,
I second that for sure. And then my parents immediately come to mind, because even though they both had very conventional jobs, they very much pursued what they specifically wanted to do, despite what they were told they should do. And I feel like I was just raised with that clearly in me. And I'm right there with you too, Jonna. I'm super lucky. And I guess you too, Jason, that I have a super supportive significant other. And while I am the person who, like, I might have all these great ideas, my natural instinct is to immediately think of all the roadblocks and like the things that could go wrong. And my husband is completely the opposite. He will just come up with this wild and crazy idea and run with it and think of all the wonderful reasons of why it could work. Yep. So we balance each other out well that way, but it's so important for me to have someone like that who's like, well, why can't you do that? and always challenging that. So
absolutely.
We'll make sense of how we all ended up here together. Awesome.
Yeah. On the Melanie Newman though, Susan Waldman just posted a picture with her like prior to tonight.
Oh, cool.
So Susan Waldman, also another inspiration to me.
Yeah.
Meredith Marakovitz. And Rachel Balkovic, the Yankees triple A, or not triple A, the single A.
Yeah.
I love her. She's an Omaha native as well.
Absolutely. Don't forget Nancy Newman too from Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yes. She's been a big supporter of my book as well. So I had to shout her out.
That's awesome. I love that. Yeah. You've had a lot of support over there at the Yes Network, it sounds like.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate. You know, as a first-time author, I wasn't really sure what to expect going into this this arena, but I've been very lucky with the support that I've gotten through social media and traditional media as well. And, you know, to speak on MLB Network and to be on the Yes Network, obviously two huge opportunities that I was very thankful for. And, you know, the book has been received really well. It's, you know, as I'm sure we'll get into, it's a very positive, uplifting story that a lot of people I hope can benefit from and get a chance to read.
Yeah, definitely. I know I'm telling every little girl in my life, like, gotta have this book in your hands. So
thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you. So with that, I guess we'll move on to drilling you with questions.
Let's do it.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm ready.
So when your eldest daughter approached you in 2018 about playing Little League Baseball with the boys, what was your response? And when did you decide to put a tweet out there about it to get support?
Sure. Well, I mean, both of my girls grew up with baseball, as I did with my dad. And you know, baseball is so important to me growing up. And it's something that I always dreamed of sharing with my kids. And I started taking my older daughter, Ava, to Yankee games when she was, you know, 5, 6 months old, so I can get the cool pictures at the stadium. I brought my younger daughter, Jade. She was born in 2014. And it was like super important for me to get her into Yankee Stadium before Jeter retired. Because I wanted her to be able to say one day that she saw Derek play in person. And I accomplished that goal too.
Excellent.
So, yes. So baseball has never been like a foreign thing to them. And so Ava had expressed some interest in playing, as you mentioned. And she came to me and she did say, you know, Dad, is baseball a sport that girls can play? And, you know, my wife and I are making it a priority. We've always made it a priority to teach them that they can be anything they want to be and do what makes them happy. So when she had these concerns, I knew I had to do something to help boost her confidence a little bit. So, you know, being a modern dad and having access to social media, I decided to have some fun. And I went on Twitter and I tweeted out looking for support from anybody who, you know, agreed with me that girls could play baseball. And I was really hoping to show her a handful of responses from some people, you know, just something to kind of boost her confidence and make her feel like she wasn't the only one. And I ended up hearing from around 100,000 people total. It was crazy. Major League Baseball reached out to me, Little League International, USA Women's Baseball all checked in with me. Jessica Mendoza and Monet Davis, obviously two huge names in women's baseball, were very supportive. The Washington Post contacted us and wrote a feature story. It was just completely overwhelming from a single tweet, and humbling at that note as well. But the thing that really stood out to me, aside from hearing from celebrities and athletes and things of that nature, were I just heard from like thousands of everyday parents from across the country who wanted to lend their support for Ava and also wanted to tell me about their own stories with their own daughters. And when that happened, I knew that I struck a nerve and I knew that there was a need for a book like this out there. And that's really why I decided to write it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So obviously, I mean, your tweet went, I guess we would call it viral at that point.
Yeah.
And you got the response from some of the huge organizations that you mentioned. Had you ever gotten a response to a tweet before? Were you really surprised? Like, how did you even begin to sift through all of the responses?
Sure. I mean, listen, every time one of us sends out a tweet, you're, in the back of your head, you're thinking, maybe this one could go viral. Maybe this one.
Yeah.
Right. This is the one. And so did I think that it could go viral? No, of course not. But when I saw Jessica Mendoza retweet it and comment and tag Major League Baseball, that was my first indication that I did something here. And then when MLB retweeted it and they were commenting on it, I said to my wife, I said, this is going to be big. I can feel it. And it was. And it was, you know, an empowering moment, not only for my kids to see, but for myself to realize that this was an important topic that not only was important to me, but was important to a lot of people out there. And it really provided a lot of motivation for me to go out there and actually turn this into a book that people can read and hopefully get enjoyment and inspiration from.
Yeah. So then you mentioned the Washington Post, like after the tweet went viral, that was your next big step, was they did a feature story on you. Mm-hmm. So was there a feature story just on that tweet alone? Like, did they, you know, pull quotes from anybody in women's baseball? Like,
yeah. So they wrote it kind of on the overall story of the fact that there was this, you know, young girl in New York who asked her dad about, whether or not girls belonged in baseball, and they tied it back to the tweet. And then, they incorporated a lot of the responses from, I think they used Major League Baseball, they used Monet Davis, a few other of the responses, and just turned into a nice feature piece on us, which was great. And, you know, at the time, to be honest with you, I really wasn't even, you know, hadn't even started writing the book yet. And that was kind of just like another push in that direction to let me realize that this was something that people were interested in reading about. And I had always thought about writing a children's book just because that's the world I was living in at the time with two little kids and reading to them every night. So I just didn't know what subject matter I was going to cover. And I initially thought about writing like a father-daughter baseball book, just watching the games together and going to games. And when I saw the response to actually playing the game and being accepted on a team, that just took it to another level for me and was really a big motivating factor for me.
Yeah, that's so cool. And so that story that they did, that sparked several more responses. Did you have people in your DMs after that as well?
Oh yeah. For months and months. And even today, still, I get people who come across my profile and it's my pinned tweet. So they'll see it, they'll like it, they'll retweet it, and then send me a DM and just, you know, say hello, introduce themselves to me. Then they go from there to the book page, and they're able to see kind of the progression of what I've done over the last 5 years. And it's cool. I mean, it's great to meet new people that way, and to inspire them and to be inspired in return. So it's kind of, you know, I've kind of created like a nice little community out of it.
Yeah, that's so cool. I think that's kind of how I came across your book as well. Like, I think we became friends on Twitter.
Yeah.
Following each other around the time that I was thinking about launching this podcast. And so it
Right.
inspired me too. I mean, I remember seeing your pinned tweet and just being like, wow, this book, oh my gosh, I have to order this. And so I did, I ordered it right away. Don't have any kids, but like, that's fine. So yeah, thank you so much for what you've contributed to women in baseball.
Oh, thank you for supporting it and for your help and for, you know, recognizing it on Twitter as well. And just to your point that you just made, you don't have any kids, but, I hope you'll agree that the message of the book, I think, is important for everyone at all ages, just because it's such, you know, everybody should have the opportunity to do what they love.
Absolutely.
You know, and to have somebody tell you that you don't belong or you can't do something because of your gender, because of the way you look, or because, you know, where you're from, nobody should have to deal with that. So the message that I tried to convey throughout the story, I feel like it kind of transcends baseball and transcends age. And it's more a story about believing in yourself, doing what makes you happy, and, you know, provides lessons in decency and being respectful of others who are different than you are. And that's, you know, like I said, I think that transcends kind of age and sport, and it's kind of a message we can all use.
Yes.
Oh, definitely.
Totally agree.
Yeah. I mean, the message is much bigger than baseball, but obviously that is the vessel that you're using to write your
Absolutely.
Book, Yes, Pepper. And it got published in January of this year with Mascot Books. But tell us a little bit about finding the right publisher. How did you work together to put out the book?
Sure. Publishing a book is not an easy task.
Yeah, I can
especially
only imagine.
especially for a first-time author, it was extremely difficult. I was very, after, I would say, two years of actually writing and planning, I was finally ready to start pitching it to publishers in February of 2020. And, you know, we all kind of know what happened to our world at that point. So I put everything on hold. Both my daughters were home from school for 13 months. So I was home with them, and I became a fourth and kindergarten teacher for about a year, which was not easy, but we got through it. And when they finally went back to school full time, that's when I really started to pursue a publisher. And I was really lucky to come across Mascot. I submitted the story to them and they loved it. And we just took it from there. And it was, you know, they've been very supportive. And it's, you know, again, as a first-time author, without really having the full credibility out there in the industry, a lot of the marketing and the communication kind of falls on my shoulders, which is great. I mean, I'm loving it. I love being creative and kind of figuring things out that way. And it also kind of gives me the ability to control the message of the story and be able to, you know, make relationships with people like you guys and have these conversations and not have to, you know, check in with anybody, so to speak. But I've really enjoyed the process. It's been a great learning experience for me and, you know, excited to keep going.
That's so cool. I think there's a lot to be said for, you know, when you're just getting your feet wet and that kind of thing. It's the same that goes for starting a podcast and doing all the social and stuff behind that. It's a lot of work, but it's so worth it. And I think it's more rewarding when you're the one like behind the scenes doing all that stuff and you don't really have the help. It's
Oh, absolutely.
It's a good
learning.
And
you just got to do it and you got to learn as you go. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So cool. So how did you decide on the name of the book?
So, well, the name of the book, obviously, Yes, Pepper, Girls Play Baseball Too. I'll go to the less creative part of it first. The Girls Play Baseball Too was important for me to have in there just because, you know, for obvious reasons, for search, when people are looking for a story for girls who play baseball, I needed those two words in the title, and it just works out perfectly in that regard. The Yes Pepper plays off of a couple things. So the main character, Abby, brings peppers, bell peppers for snack to school. And her friends bring, you know, pretzels and chips and the usual things that kids would bring to school. And so this kind of establishes right from the beginning that she's different. and a little bit unique. And so that was like a main component for kind of setting the tone early on that she was a little bit different. And then I tied it in with the game Pepper, which is a baseball drill that, you know, usually kids play. But it's something that's banned in major league ballparks and in a lot of stadiums and fields around the country, just because of the nature of the game. You're literally hitting the ball into the turf over and over again, trying to hit ground balls. And so groundskeepers don't like it because it chews up the grass. And so it is banned. And you often see hanging in a stadium a sign that says no pepper. And it was a lot more common, I think, in the 90s and early 2000s. I don't think you see them as much today, but those no pepper signs do exist. And so I decided to flip it and, you know, take the negative connotation of no out of it and just use yes pepper. And obviously naming the character Pepper as her nickname kind of gave the positive connotation and let her, you know, let her and all the readers know that yes, Pepper, you can play baseball, you can do this. And the other cool thing about the game of Pepper is that it's something that regardless of your height, your strength, your speed, or obviously your gender, it's something that anybody can do. And they do, and it's fun. And that's kind of where the name of the title originated from.
That's so cool. I mean, I never would have known that part about the like no pepper signs in stadiums. I don't know that I've ever noticed that or knew that. So that's
a really cool piece of it. A little tip, if you Google no pepper sign, one of the first images that comes up is Yankee Stadium in the mid-90s with Derek Jeter in the on deck circle and the sign is hanging right behind him.
I might have to hang that in my basement. That's so cool.
Yeah, now that you say that, I'm like, oh, I have seen those, but I never would have known what it meant. And that is cool how thoughtful and layered it all is.
And I've actually had a lot of people, you know, tell me that they never heard of the game before or they've never seen the sign. And that's why I did include in the back of the book a little author's note that not only explains what the game is and where it originated, but also how it links back to the title.
Very cool. So obviously we talked a little bit already about the message behind the book of inclusion and belonging. And yes, it's about baseball, but there's that other piece you said about, you know, that she stands out for other reasons too. Like she brings peppers as a snack for school. And I love that because I don't know why I was like this. It must be because of my parents and like you are with your girls that they made being different or being unique or just being however you wanted to be seem cool. Because I remember when I was like 10 or 11 that I wanted to be different. I wanted to stand out more than anything. And around the time that everybody else was like, fitting in is cool and I just want to be like everyone else, I was straight the opposite. But anyway, I'm sure there's a nice middle ground that most kids fall in. How did you, I guess, weave in other themes to kind of get that message across, even if baseball is not something, you know, that kids will relate to?
Sure. Well, I did try to incorporate other components to the story as far as, you know, home life for her that didn't necessarily revolve around baseball. Like there's a really cool scene with her sitting on the couch with her mom and dad discussing, you know, what makes her different and how to overcome that and accept that and go do something that she loves. And, you know, I think that's a common theme that that a lot of us can relate to. And the character herself, Abby, I feel like is super relatable. She deals with insecurities and self-doubts, which, you know, I mean, let's face it, we all do. We all deal with that at time, you know, from time to time. And similarly, she, through her journey in the story, she kind of realizes that a lot of this is living in her head. And, you know, that's another thing that's relatable. But the cool thing about the story is that it kind of serves as an example of how you can accept those things and overcome them and still go ahead and do something that you love, even if it makes you stand out or makes you feel a little different. And so that's really a theme that I tried to hit on hard with the story. But the other thing is that, you know, you mentioned that baseball is the vehicle to tell this story, which is true. And it is intended for girls. However, the message of acceptance and respect, I think, is something that boys can really get a lot from as well. And you know, especially young kids at that age, if you know, if you teach these lessons early on, and you know, you have girls and boys growing up believing that this is normal, that girls can play baseball and boys can do things that girls do, you know, I feel like you kind of set the tone early, and you set them up to live this way and believe these things going forward. And I think, you know, that obviously makes everything a little easier and more civil later on in life. And, you know, these are all important messages to get across at an early age. And I'm thankful and hopeful that my book continues to do that for young kids.
Yeah. So, you know, just kind of tagging on to that, one of my favorite parts of the book is when it talks about how it became an old routine that, you know, Abby and her dad, or Pepper and her dad, would go to the backyard after dinner every night and play baseball, and they would practice together. And so the line says, their old routine had a new sense of purpose. Abby decided that no one would work harder than she did. She would never stop swinging. And that took me back to playing with my dad. He coached me too for several years, just like you have coached your girls.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, you know, those are some of my favorite memories of childhood. Playing with, you know, playing under my dad, and then also watching the Yankees together. And so,
yeah.
So much of this is so relatable to me, but, it also, just like you mentioned earlier, serves as such a great analogy for chasing our dreams, no matter how old we are. Never stop swinging. I love that.
Well, I mean, and Johnny, you just hit on something really important too, which was that, you know, similar to what Kelsey referenced early on with, the sign about no, she earned it. It was really important for me in this story to not have Abby be handed a spot on the team. I didn't want it to come across as though, because she's a girl and we feel bad for her, that, you know, she can be on the team too, and kind of like a sympathy spot. I really tried to get across the point that she was going, as you just read from the story itself, she was going to work harder than anybody else to earn that spot, and she did. And that, I think, is an important lesson to learn as well, that, you know, things are not given in life. You have to work hard for them. You know, I think that's another positive message that I hope people get from it and can be inspired by.
Yeah. Wow. So thoughtful on so many levels. I'm glad we're getting to kind of into the nitty gritty of it.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
Thank you.
But as Jonna mentioned, you too have coached both of your girls. And so Ava and Jade have been in Little League Baseball for like the past 6 years or so.
So Ava played 4 years, and she loved every minute of it. And sadly, she has retired. she's moved on to other sports. She's now playing tennis and volleyball.
Oh, nice.
And Jade also played 4 years. And last season, she was the only girl on her team, which she was just fine with. And she had a great season, had a bunch of big hits throughout. And she came to me this winter, and she said one of her friends was going to be playing softball in the town next to us. My town doesn't have a softball league, which is why my girls played baseball growing up. And so she said that she wanted to go play softball with her. And to be honest with you, I couldn't be more proud of the decision. She went and she signed up for softball. It was her choice. And she's having an unbelievable season. I think a lot of what she learned playing baseball has translated over to softball. And you know, I think that the lessons that she learned and the confidence she built playing alongside boys put her in a position to make these decisions for herself and to kind of pick out what she wants to do in life and be confident in that. And so for her to come to me, being, you know, the dad who wrote the book about a girl playing baseball, and say, you know, dad, I think I want to try this. I said, you know what, if that's what you want to do, then go do it. And kind of sticking true to the message of the book of doing what you love. And you know, as a dad, it's my job to support her in any fashion, and that was something important to her, and so we're doing that now, and now I'm a softball coach, so we're having fun.
That translates over well too as the coach.
Yeah,
my dad coached that's me right. in softball as well.
There's the reverse, absolutely.
Yep. Keeping you on your toes.
Yes.
What position does she play? Does she enjoy one more than others?
So she came into this season liking second base. And then she started asking to play first base. She played first base a little, and she actually caught a couple innings this year, which I didn't think she would like, but she did. She got a kick out of it, you know, going back to Yogi Berra, the Yogi Berra episode. And also don't forget Bill Dickey, two WAR number.
Yeah.
two catchers. But yeah, so she did catch a few innings this year that she's enjoyed. And you know, and as far as baseball goes, it's still a part of her life. She, you know, she's actually upstairs watching the Yankees right now with my wife. And, you know, I'm sure she'll have some updates for me when I get upstairs.
Awesome. We actually talked quite a bit on we did an episode where we featured women who are currently working in the coaching side of baseball. And I think all of them that we covered, or like a large majority of them that are currently working and coaching in professional baseball, were catchers when they were players in softball. So, I mean, I know that's very common in Major League Baseball too, but who knows what track she's on.
Absolutely. You never know.
Could be anything she wants, which is what it's all about.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you said it before with somebody like Rachel Balcovic. I mean, you know, really all levels and all phases of baseball now you're seeing women pop up. I mean, the Mets have Elizabeth Benn in their front office. You've got Kim Ng down in Miami as the GM. You know, there are examples and there are role models out there. And even, you know, you guys are role models to women who have interest in getting involved in sports media or broadcasting. So it's becoming much more commonplace, which I think is a good thing. And you know, I'm glad that both my girls will grow up seeing that and realizing that this is normal and believing that it's normal.
I'm not crying. You're crying. Thank you for that. That means a lot to me.
It's the truth. You know, I mean, you guys are you started a podcast for, you know, by three women talking about baseball. And I think that's, you know, an excellent example for my girls to grow up and listen to. And I think that, you know, I'm proud that you guys did that and, you know, keep going with it. You're only eight episodes in, you got plenty more to go.
Thank you so much. So prior to all this, as Kelsey mentioned earlier, you worked for Steiner Sports for several years. What was your role there? And, I do know that you were able to meet several professional athletes, including one of my favorites, the captain, Derek Jeter. So what was that like?
So I graduated college. I went to Quinnipiac University in Connecticut and studied journalism and minored in sports marketing. So sports was always something that I wanted to get into. And I was lucky enough to get a job with Steiner out of college. And I started doing the most basic, you know, sales, you know, just calling people to sell them, you know, memorabilia and help with the whole overall message of the company. And I was able to kind of build on that career and really ended up touching every part of the company and the industry. I went from sales to eventually I worked in product development. I helped out with the marketing division. I did athlete signings. I helped host events. I was emceeing several events, including the one with Jeter. Got to work very closely with a lot of my heroes growing up, guys like Mariano and Bernie. And it was just an overall really exciting, fun experience to be a part of. And it taught me a lot. I mean, I was on the phone early on in my career. My first week working at Steiner Sports was the week after the Red Sox won the World Series in 2004. So as you can imagine, I was, you know, I wasn't salty at all.
No, I was gonna say.
But I remember as a young kid with no sales experience, getting on the phone and like literally taking a phone book from Massachusetts and blind, you know, blind calling people and telling them that we had, you know, Pedro Martinez and David Ortiz and Manny Ramirez in the office signing, and just like selling signed balls and signed photos, you know, just on the spot. And it was, that was a really cool, as much as it was difficult to talk about the Red Sox every day, it was a really cool introduction to the industry, because it gave me the opportunity from an early age to connect fans with their heroes and with moments in time that that meant a lot to them. So it gave me like a really early peek into how, you know, how much value there really is in memorabilia aside from financial value, how there's so much sentimental value in this stuff. And, you know, and I grew up obviously rooting for the Yankees and through the 90s. So I know what it's like to see your team win and want to collect everything available to commemorate it. So it was a relatable thing for me. I'm not saying it was easy to talk about, but it was relatable in that regard. But I got to work at Steiner through a couple of really interesting time periods, including the 2008-2009 transition from the old stadium to the new stadium. And I was a big part of that transition. I remember going into Yankee Stadium and the old Yankee Stadium, and we were taking signage, we were taking the seats, we were taking pieces of the dugout bench and the foul pole and creating collectibles out of them. And just an unbelievable experience to be a part of that, and then transition that the following year to the new stadium and be a part of that. Was so much fun and really, you know, a great experience that I still talk about today, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, and that was a World Series year as well. So
that's right.
What a big year for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was a huge year.
So cool. Yeah. My, I have some cousins that have a couple of the seats from the old stadium. So
they probably got them from Steiner.
Yeah, I wonder. I'm going to have to check with them and see if they remember.
So at the time, we had signed a deal with the Yankees to be the exclusive provider of all that stuff. So any collectibles from the old stadium, you know, came from us, which is pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, hey, yeah. We had a connection long before we knew it.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
Well, no one has been hurt more by the Red Sox winning the World Series than our fan bases here as the Yankees and the Cardinals. But as you mentioned, you are a diehard New York Yankees fan and a New York Jets fan. You are a season ticket holder for both.
Yes.
And as you mentioned, the Yankees are at home tonight. It sounds like maybe you've got some people keeping up with the game for you, but you're really missing out on it to hang out with us tonight.
Of course. Why not? There's 162 of them. I'll catch the next one.
That's true.
We owe you some, like a Judge burger or something.
Right. All right. I'll take you up on that.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that. We really appreciate you being here tonight with us. It's
absolutely
an honor. It's a pleasure.
This was fun. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So normally we close out with what we call a Ruth's Rundown. And in Ruth's Rundown, we usually give like the hottest baseball takes, baseball news. So we're going to bypass that tonight. But in lieu, I want to talk Yanks with you for a little
while. All right.
I'll allow
it. Yeah. Oh, Kelis is going to bow out. No, I'm just kidding. So this was a huge week for the Yankees, or the past couple of weeks have been big for them. Judge was the AL MVP of the week, following Rizzo, who was the AL MVP of the week. We had, they DFA'd Aaron Hicks, which that one shocked me, but I want to hear your thoughts on that. Luis Severino returned from the IL and he looked amazing in his first start last Sunday. The bullpen also has the lowest ERA in all of baseball, which is amazing. So yeah, I want to hear all of your thoughts on that. How you were feeling about the Hicks DFA? Did that surprise you or did you see it coming?
I mean, it surprised me only to the fact that they owe him so much money still. And, you know, he was the longest tenured Yankee, I believe, when they DFA'd him. So, I think that was the surprise. Certainly he hasn't been producing, he's constantly injured. And I think IKF kind of took over that role from him in the outfield. So you know, seeing Hicks move on, I think it's probably good for everybody for him to get a fresh start somewhere else. As far as the overall team this year, you know, certainly it's didn't start off that great. Things have improved dramatically over the last couple of weeks. And I think, you know, obviously, as we all know, Aaron Judge drives that truck. So with him back and feeling back to himself, I think that, you know, they're certainly on the right path to get to where they need to be. The incredible thing with a guy like Judge, I mean, that I've been so impressed by, you know, aside from all of his personality traits and the fact that he literally reminds me of Derek Jeter. I mean, when I watch him speak to the media, the guy is just a mirror image of how Jeter used to sound speaking to the press. Mm-hmm. And he just carries that, you know, he carries that torch so well, that there's nobody who I'd want to be the face of my team and to pay like they're paying him than Aaron Judge. And having him come back, I think I heard on the game last night that he has 15 home runs now or 14 home runs. And at this time last year, he had 15. Yeah. And he's missed
he's not 2 weeks. Chase for 63 or more.
Right. Right. So, I mean, the fact that he's on the same pace and he missed 2 weeks with an injury is just insane to me. But you know, having Aaron Judge at, you know, at the top of this team and having everybody around him, you know, I'm excited. I hope they can finally get to the top of that mountain. The pitching staff, obviously the starters, is not exactly what we thought it was going to be heading into the season, but, I'm hoping that we get some guys back and we can, you know, kind of get over that hump and win another title.
Yeah. You know, as you mentioned, the starting pitching, I want to get to all of that. But the one thing that I feel confident is that the bullpen is doing so well. And despite all the injuries that all the guys that we still have on the aisle. So, yeah. But you know, as you mentioned, Judge being obviously such a great leader, just a stand-up guy. And I'm really glad that kids nowadays have someone to look up to like that. But I want to mention and give nod to a huge leader of the team, and this is an unspoken leader of the team, Harrison Bader. He is, yes, and I know Kelsey, you know, obviously loves him as well.
Sure.
We're always going to take credit for him, us Cardinals fans.
Yeah. I had some back and forth with a Cards fan the other day who actually like quote tweeted me and was like, oh, good, they love Harrison Bader too.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
Not.
Yeah.
He's loved over here too.
He's such a fit there. I'm like very happy for him as much as we loved him. Like, I was instantly happy when I found out that that's where he was going. Because if he had to leave, like, that's where he would want to be. That's where he's going to fit in. And that's where he's going to be appreciated. So,
right.
Natural fit.
Back home. It doesn't work for everyone. But he just seemingly, like, just fit right in. But I love one of the things that he has been doing this year. He leaves a bottle of champagne for everybody's, like, first big thing. And so, he's done that for Ron Marinaccio for his first save. And who else did he do that for? Willie Calhoun, I think, his first big league home run. And so it's really cool to see that he does those kind of things like behind the scenes in the clubhouse, and just really makes you think there are a lot of leaders on this team that just don't maybe aren't getting the cred for it. I think Rizzo is another one that does a lot of cool things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think they have a really great, you know, mix of young kids and veterans to kind of, you know, blend together. And they definitely have a lot of leaders and role models in that clubhouse. A guy like Bader, I mean, I remember when he came over last year and he obviously had the injury. I mean, I'll admit it. I couldn't believe they traded Montgomery in that deal. And, you know, to give up a lefty, you know, essentially entering into his prime as a Yankee. I mean, all I could do was make the comparison to Andy Pettit and say, we just gave up the next Andy Pettit. And, you know, Kelsey, for your sake, I hope he turns into an Andy Pettit for you. But Bader,
we need him real bad too, in terms of starting pitching. So.
I know you do. But Bader's been great. I mean, he came back, you know, he had a great postseason last year. He's fit right into this, you know, this team. And he's actually, I know they mentioned it a lot last season, but he lives right around where I do. He's from Bronxville, New York, which is very close to Yankee Stadium. And so this is kind of his, you know, his home turf. So I'm sure he feels comfortable here, and he knows what to expect playing for the Yankees. And, you know, like you said, he's another leader in that clubhouse, which needs it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So what are your thoughts on Josh Donaldson's return? I know Boone said he would be an everyday player when he comes back. My personal feeling on that is that they're saying that, whether or not it's true, they kind of have to say that. They have to put it out there. Right. Got to give the guy a chance. And so by, you know, telling him you're going to be an everyday player, like, maybe that'll infuse something there. I don't know. That's kind of my thought, but I want to know what your thoughts are there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I never loved the Donaldson deal, you know, but they're paying him a lot of money. I know they're going to want to get him out there. He's certainly capable of putting up numbers. I don't know, you know, with given his age and recent injury history, whether he can ever get back to that level. I hope he can, if they're going to play him. But, you know, I'm a big believer in not messing with things when they're working. So they've been on such a run lately, and you know, to infuse him back in there, you know, I just don't know if that's the right move, but you know, I'll leave that up to the analytics people. Let them make those decisions. So,
well, I have to admit, I feel a little bit the same way about Stanton's return. I'm like, don't mess with a good thing. And with his, you know, strikeout numbers, I worry a little bit about bringing him back. But I mean, we know that he can be like on when he's on, and that's excellent, and it gets the whole lineup going. But I also fear that it messes with a good thing.
Potentially, yes. I mean, Stanton obviously is an another world talent, that, you know, when he's right, he can wreck a game like nobody can. So I have no problem with them putting him in, assuming he's healthy and, you know, he can extend that lineup. You know, an opposing pitcher having to deal with a guy like Judge and Stanton in the same lineup is just so intimidating. You almost get a mental edge just from having him in there. So whereas Donaldson, I don't think carries that same weight anymore in the lineup.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. So any thoughts on what might happen around the trade deadline time?
I don't think they'll be sellers. That's for sure. I mean, we've only seen them really sell off pieces once, over the last 30 years. And that was in 16 when they kind of reloaded. But I think they're going to, you know, they're going to be in it. They're going to be in the mix. And, you know, I think a starting pitcher, depending on what happens with Rodon, if he can come back, you know, they're going to need a starting pitcher. Severino has proven over the last several years that, you know, he can't entirely be trusted, with his injury history. So you want to make sure you've got that rotation going into the playoffs, because we know the Yankees are going to hit, we know they're going to score, but to have the, you know, those top of the rotation guys to put next to Cole, I think is so important in a short series. And I think that's probably where they'll focus, assuming, you know, knock on wood, we don't have any injuries to position players.
Yes. Yeah. That's kind of my thought too.
Yeah.
That's my hope anyway.
Yeah. Right.
Well, thanks for talking Yanks with me.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Man, that's got me thinking, because like the Yankees and the Cardinals are going to need the same thing really at the deadline. So I'm like,
we're gonna be
that should be interesting. I'm not sure they'll be working together this year. Yeah,
probably not.
It's just that time where we're like, actually, you feel like you can start talking about like, okay, trade deadline. It's on everybody's mind now. So
I know it's a long season, but it goes quick.
Right. I guess I'm sure for everybody it's a little bit different, but the Cardinals officially hit like the one third through the season on Saturday's game. Okay. So it's here.
We're getting there. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's when I allow myself to look at the standings for the first time. So are the Cardinals, where are they? I don't know. I don't need to know. We don't need to know where the Yankees are at right now. Doesn't matter yet.
I know. I play that game too.
We're on the rise over here. I like it.
Well, Jason, thank you so much for joining us today. It was so cool to get deeper insight into this story that's obviously so enticing and exciting to see out there. And if my niece is listening, cover her ears, because she's getting Yes Pepper for her third birthday. She just turned three yesterday. I'm going to give it to her at her party next weekend. And yeah, obviously we'll put the link for your info and where to pick up the book and all that good stuff in the show notes. So check it out. Jason, tell us where we can follow you on social media and keep up with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you can follow me personally at it's at by Jason Klein. The book is at Yes Pepper Book. And you can always find me at my website. It's byjasonkline.com.
Love it. And then we can stay up to date with what's next. Do you have any spoiler alerts for us, or we should wait to see?
It's one of the most common questions I get. And I'm thinking of writing a sequel to Yes Pepper at some point. The one thing, as you'll find out when you read the book, we don't actually get into gameplay. The book kind of leaves off with her meeting her teammates and, you know, not to spoil the story, but just that part of the experience. And so I'd like to get deeper into her actually playing against boys and with boys and, you know, kind of some of the challenges that she might face in that arena and how she would potentially overcome those and, you know, continue to grow as a player and as a person.
Very cool. Yeah. So hit up the show notes and find Jason on Twitter and at his website. And then of course you can follow us on Twitter at babes pod. We are on Instagram at babes podcast. We're also up on YouTube. And then of course the audio recording of our show is on Apple Podcast as well as Spotify, but you just hit that link tree and it'll give you all the good stuff. Thanks again, Jason, for your time and sharing your talents with us. And we can't wait to see what happens for the Yankees and for Pepper in the future as well.
Awesome. Yeah.
Thank you.
Jonna, thank you, Kelsey. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care.
Yay.